three-column religion to expulsion to responsibility, and a lot more. This is episode number 767 of The Next Step, February 23rd, 2023.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vazquez. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazquez brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. There's no need to check your brain in at the door. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Beyond three-column religion. How's that? Do you have a three-column religion? We do. Use your imagination a little bit and you'll know where I'm going with this and you'll hear about it. But before we go there, how are you doing? I hope you're all doing well. I've got to tell you, it has been one of those most busiest weeks that you could imagine. Yes, the first week of Lent, and with all the things that we're putting up on ePostle, the videos and the audios, and on top of that, we've got a lot of visitations that we're doing. I'm just exhausted, and I am so excited that right now I get to sit in front of this microphone. I've got to tell you how cathartic it is for me, and I want to thank you. I want to start off today's podcast by thanking you for being there, for listening to this, because you don't know what a therapy it is for me after going through the whole week. We started services not only online but in person. We're doing the Huskum, the Wednesday night services, as well as Arev HaKal, which is the sunrise services. We had one with the Ladies Society on Wednesday morning, and of course Sunday we'll be doing those in churches all around here in the United States. And it has become a tradition throughout the world. I know that in the monastery, I'm not sure about all the monasteries. I know in Etchmiadzin they do the Arev HaKal. It is the sunrise service, one of seven services in the Armenian Church, is called Yot HaJam, the 7 hours of the Armenian Church. And also during Lent, we get to do the Hankastian and Chagan, the rest and peace hours. And that, you know, these are all just services that are part of our tradition. But because we don't do these daily, we've kind of like made a small little area. We've said, like, during Lent, let's do these. So it's kind of exciting. And of course, this Sunday, we're coming up with the first of the Giragi, Some of Sunday. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When I say Some of Sunday in those promos, I'm talking about SUM of Sunday. Has a new meaning, doesn't it? Some of Sunday, Giragi. That's going to be taking place 5 o'clock Pacific time. So wherever you are in the world, I hope you will join us. It's something we're going to try. If it has success, we're going to continue on with it, but definitely going to give it a shot. Anyway, I'll talk more about it later on today. Let me start off with this portion of the next step by sharing with you some of my concerns. Did I tell you it's a cold day? Did I tell you it's a cold day? It doesn't happen like this in Southern California. We actually had a flood alert. Do you believe that? It came in on the telephone. There was this obnoxious sound coming on the telephone. In fact, I'm leaving it on, so if it comes on again right now while we're recording, you'll get to hear how obnoxious it is. Anyway, telling us there was a flood alert for tomorrow, for Friday. And this morning, I have to tell you, right now it's just like really like the clouds are in, and there was like snow on our mountains. Like I said, we're not used to this in Southern California. What do we have? We have 4 seasons, and they're all summer. Yeah, that's Southern California. four seasons all summer. And now, not only is it wet, not only is it snowing right here, but they're telling us a flood alert might be in the forecast for this evening or early tomorrow morning. I'm not sure exactly the time schedule, but somehow they have figured that out. They've gotten the forecast down. And I think that's pretty awesome that they could do something like that. Anyway, this morning, the clouds had not come in yet, and I got out for one of the most incredible bike rides. It was brisk winter morning, and it was temperatures close to freezing point. I think it was like 35, 36, and just it's the kind of weather you ask for when you're riding. Cold, brisk, and just you feel so vibrant. And it was a great ride, and I think that's probably going to do it for me until after the weekend. From what the forecast tells me, looks like there's going to be a lot of wetness and rain. So wherever you are right now, and I hear that the rest of the United States is having some oddball weather too. But I know that we have so many listeners from throughout the world. Wherever you are, I hope you're in a good place, a good situation, and at least have a few minutes to spend with me today. Like I said, I want to thank you. I can't thank you enough for this opportunity. I'm going to share with you some thoughts about where we're going, about relevance. And well, let's start off with the three-column idea. I don't want to be a three-column church. And this is all going to make sense by the end of today's podcast, because there are so many little examples that I want to share with you, including this Lenten season. But the three-column idea, it came up last night. I was preparing for this weekend. We're going to be doing a special service. And throughout the years, I have written many, many liturgies. We would get together for Bible study, I think at least, I want to say 40 years, but at least 39 years. I know I started early, right after being ordained a priest. We used to get people together once a week to have Bible studies. And soon thereafter, I realized that more than Bible study, we needed to come together and study the scriptures, but then apply them in our lives. And one of the applications in our lives is not only to share it with one another, what we learned, but share our stories with one another. Have that fellowship with one another. What did you go through today? What kind of pains do you have today? What kind of goodness do you have? What kind of celebrations do you have? Let's hear and give and take. And so for the last, like I said, 39 years, maybe it's 40, we've been doing Bible studies, and soon after we started, we said, hey, let's make a small little service to start off our Bible studies with. Let's have a short little service. And I came up with a very simple format. I shouldn't even say I came up with it. It's a format of the Armenian Church. It's what's called the Joshua service. Josh means the meal. And in our holy divine liturgy, the Badarak, of course, we prepare the body and blood of Christ for us to consume, for us to take in. And so it is the big agape meal. It is the major meal of the day. But within that, there is a small little portion called the Joshua service, the meal. And this takes place, if you're familiar with the divine liturgy, it takes place right after preparation, after the priest is prepared. He gets together and they sing Surpastvad, Surpiev Hazor, Surpiev Anma, Vor, Haryav, Vor Zanar, Vor Hachetzar. There's all kinds of variations to this. And it is a hymn that addresses Holy God, who was crucified for us, who was resurrected for us. And it's unique to the Armenian Church because we're the only ones that actually say, Holy God, you were. Not Jesus Christ only, not just the name only, I mean, but Holy God. We refer to Jesus Christ as Holy God. You were the one who was resurrected, who was on the cross, who was born and revealed. It was Jesus Christ, Holy God, holy and almighty. So from that one little hymn, after that we hear the scriptural passages, and it's at that point that actually the sermon would take place in the old days. Old day, yeah, even older than me. I think maybe except for our experimental liturgies, which we did, and was the short-lived experimental liturgies, which we did, and was closed down quickly, right? except for those. And sometimes we get to do them in retreats and camp settings. I usually intentionally put the sermon right at that point, because that's where it should be. I mean, it only makes sense. It's the jashu, which means it is the meal, the portion, the spiritual food. So just think about it. We proclaim that Jesus is God. We read the scriptures from St. Paul's letters, from the Holy Gospels, and then you hear a message about that scriptural passage. And that's something else that I'm a big stickler for. You know, our church fathers give us these readings every day of the year, except for, I think there's four days before the feast of Saint Sarkis, if I remember right. Yeah, I think took place about a month ago or so. There's 4 days where there is no scriptural assignment. But every other day throughout, that's another story. Ask me one day and I'll explain it. I think it's somewhere in our vast library you could find it. But anyway, every day of the year has a unique message. And I believe that is so important that as priests, as preachers, we stick to those messages. Because I found through my 40 years, I found that those messages uniquely talk to us. Why? Because it forces you as the preacher to connect the dots. It forces you to look at what Christ said and then apply it to what's going on in the world. Everything that Christ has said, everything is relevant to us today. Yes. Quite different from the Old Testament, where you've got some kind of story and everything. Not everything is relevant. There aren't dots that you could connect. But everything that Jesus says is timeless. It applied at first century. It applies in the Middle Ages and applies to us. And it will apply in a million years. It is a message for today. A grain of wheat must fall into the earth and die before it can produce its harvest. Otherwise, it stays a single seed. Now, even when there is new technologies that take away the seeds, okay, there is still the principle behind it that we are focusing in on, the seed. It has to die. Everything that Jesus says is relevant today. It's a timeless message. And so I'm a stickler for that, you know, if God has given us these scriptural passages and we have assigned them to a unique day, you as a preacher, as somebody who's going to put together the homily of the day, need to do your homework. You can't just say, hey, I don't feel like talking about that. I think I'll talk about some other subject. Now, of course, there's exceptions to everything. You might have a unique situation where something arises and some event takes place and you need to address the issues that are taking place. I'm talking just generally. And tragically, there's a lot of people don't go this extra step of making it all connect. So this Joshua service, the Joshua portion of it, is from Surpastvats, Holy God, all the way to the instructional part, the scriptures and the message. And then it concludes with the recitation of the creed. I mean, think about it for a moment, right? You have been nourished spiritually by this spiritual food of the scripture and the message, and now you proclaim your faith. This is what we believe: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Church, the Nicene Creed. We believe Havadamk Imiasvat. I know you have heard the singular version of that. I believe. In our church, it's we believe. This is what we believe. We are a community of worshipers. Okay, so that's the Joshua portion, and I'm getting ready to preparing a service for my Bible study groups. Every time we would meet, we would do this Joshua service, but we would have unique prayers and unique psalms specifically for the time and season with the readings as well. So that, and it's really remarkable. For instance, let's take a for instance, just so you know what I'm talking about and why it's important for us to connect these dots. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving here in the United States happens to be at the end of November. And uniquely, you have a reading which was put into our lectionary way before Thanksgiving, way before the United States. But I don't believe that it's by chance that it happens to land on that particular Sunday of Thanksgiving. And it's a reading about the man who has a barn and he has so much goods that he takes it and he tears down the walls and he creates bigger barns. Except that in all of his excitement to celebrate his wealth, he forgot that, hey, his physical life isn't forever. And he dies that night. And so everything that he's created is for nothing. And it comes to us on the Thanksgiving feast. And so as a preacher, as a somebody who's going to create a homily, it's up to you to make those connections. Now think about it. What are we thankful for? Are we thankful for the things that we have? Are we thankful for the life that we have? For the talent that God has given us? What are the things that we should be thankful for? So this is basically the idea. So each Bible study, I would start off with a small little Joshua service. This service, which takes about 10 minutes. And I'm going to be replicating that for this Sunday when we do the Giragi. It's called the Sum of Sunday. S-U-M. The Sum of Sunday. Ah, now you're getting it, right? Giragi. We're going to be doing that this Sunday evening. So I'm preparing it and I'm looking through texts. And I notice that all the texts that we have are in three columns. Three-column religion. You have the column where it's the classical Armenian. Then you have a column that's the translation. Then you have a third column that is the transliteration, because the Armenian language has its unique alphabet. And so not everybody can read that alphabet. And so they write it in transliteration. They transliterate it using the Latin characters to make the Armenian words. And there was actually a very fantastic article about this, about the phenomena that has grown about this, but it's not today's discussion. It just came out this morning. I got to make a note of that because I would love to share that with you too. So we have these three columns that happen to be in all of the prayer books that we have, in all of the divine liturgies, what we call the pew book, okay? You go to church, you sit in the pew, and there it is. There's this book that you've got to decipher through with the Armenian language, with the translation, and the transliteration. And sometimes it gets confusing. Now add to that a fourth column, which they just recently did. They added a fourth column because they wanted to also make the Armenian colloquial. In other words, what does that Armenian text mean in today's language, which now begs the question, you mean nobody understands the old language? You got it. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, we've got the three-column religion. So many people are used to this. This is how we grow up. This is what we see. And we've got to get over this, because I think what we're doing is we're creating people who want to look at religion rather than live religion. One of the big discussions lately has been is one of the priests, I think, several years ago, 20 years, it's been over 20 years, he came up with this beautiful idea of instead of books, let's put it up on a screen, you know. And I remember early on it was projected. Now with these flat screen panels coming down in price, churches are installing them. And the priest has been very generous with sharing the files. Other churches have created their own files. And so basically you can look up during the liturgy and follow along. There's the words, there is the translation, and there is the transliteration. So the three columns are now being thrown up on a projection. That's great. But what are we doing here? I want to ask you that. Is that, and I would love to hear from you too. Is that a hindrance? Is that a help or is that a hindrance? I would think that if you get into a church, really, here's your opportunity to become one with that service. And yeah, there are things that you can't understand. But I don't know if we need to understand everything. I don't know if we can understand everything. In fact, some of the translations that we find are just so obsolete that I doubt anybody can decipher through the translations. Prosome. We say prosome. It's a Greek word. Anybody ask what it means? We just say broskome. And in fact, it's interesting because in the English, in this three-column book, it's written as broskome. Yeah. That there it is. I mean, we translate the Armenian, but the Greek, we keep it the way it is. Why? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Somebody must have an answer. Somebody must have had an answer. But at this point, it just, yeah, there it is, broskome. And there's translations that have come over through the years from previous translations. I think the queen of translations, so to speak, can be ascribed to Archbishop Dilan Nersoyan. He made that, most of the prayer books that you see inside the church are based on his translation. Not all of them, but most of them. Bishop Daniel Findikian did a brand new translation, which is remarkable. That's probably one of the best, but you don't see it that often. You don't see it everywhere. Bishop Didon's, it was a scholarly piece, scholarly language. It was meant to be studied. For instance, Arjanye Virov. It is meet and right. You want to tell me what that means? All I'm saying is that we're creating an extra layer to get to the faith. Instead of encouraging people to just kind of be absorbed into the liturgy, we're now adding this dimension that, okay, here's the script. You've got to look at it. You've got to follow along. And these are the parts. Parts are parts. This is the priest part. This is the deacon part. This is the choir part. And it makes for a very beautiful, beautiful liturgy when it's done right. But it also separates, doesn't it? It makes you want to do your part. We're going to talk more about this, a little bit more detailed, and actually you're going to see how it all is going to come together in a beautiful scriptural passage for this week. Okay, let's take a break right now. Okay, so kind of take in everything that's been said. We listen to a song of the day. We'll be back with some more. Here's what I picked for today. Tin chuzer dir a Arim Sochag, that is Armenian Public Radio, off of their Retrograde album. Beautiful tune. Actually, I came upon the entire album the other day. I was listening through some older... through the years, I've had to convert from vinyls to cassettes to CDs. And so finally, I dumped a bunch of stuff into MP3s. And this was a small little folder that was just there in my collection. And I stumbled upon it, and I said, oh, I forgot how beautiful this was. I forgot how, yes, that is a sin. That's part of the deadly sins we talk about. To forget beauty. We're going to talk about that in a couple of moments, okay? To forget beauty. Just remember that. I am sinful. I am guilty of that. I forgot beauty, forgot a beautiful song like this. Anyway, I will have a link on today's show notes. Armenian Public Radio, Retrograde is the album. Arim Sochag, Come to Me, My Nightingale. I'm beautiful, isn't it? I hope you enjoyed it. We are back with some more. We're talking about three-column religion, and I was sharing with you some ideas. Let's talk about this Sunday. This Sunday, as you know, in our Armenian church, we have every Sunday of the Lenten season. Not only has its unique reading, but it also has a name. It happens to be called this Sunday, Ardaksman Giragi, the Sunday of Expulsion. And the Bible passage for this comes to us from the Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew chapter 5, wherein Jesus is giving us a few, well, he's challenging us. He's giving us a few laws, and then he's giving us the higher ideal to strive for. You have heard you should not murder, but I tell you, you shouldn't have anger. I mean, if you have anger, it's equal to murder, he's telling you. You should not commit adultery, but I tell you, you shouldn't have lust. You have that lust, you look at that person lustfully, that's like committing adultery. Oaths. You've heard you shouldn't take oaths that you can't keep. I'm telling you, just don't make oaths. Just say yes or no. You've heard, and this is the wild one, right? You've heard an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I tell you, turn the cheek. Don't get that revenge. Just turn your cheek. Love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pretty wild, huh? And so after you read this, the daily message, the daily scriptural passage for that day, you start realizing that what Jesus is asking us to do is over and above what we could have even imagined. And you even question it. Is it possible? Is it possible to love your enemies? Is it possible for you not to have anger towards somebody? And therefore, if it's not possible, does that mean, you're a murderer? Is this supposed to be taken literally? I mean, what's the question here? What's going on here? Jesus is asking us way too much. Now, look at it in the context of what the day is. Ardaksman Giragi. Expulsion from paradise. And the first thing you notice when you get into the Armenian church during Lent is that the curtain's drawn. And you say, well, why don't they open it up? And they say, no, we can't open it up. Not until Lent is over. Uh-huh. So that curtain has something to do with the Lenten church. Well, we just close the curtain during Lent. Yeah, but it has to have a meaning, right? Of course it does. Of course it does. They don't just close the curtain. Now, when you go in Sunday morning to a church service in the Armenian church during Lent, you notice the curtain is closed. You also notice that there's some commotion going on behind the curtain. Namely, the divine liturgy, the one that you enjoy every Sunday, is being celebrated, but we can't see it. We can't see what's going on back there. The beautiful divine liturgy in all of its splendor, with all of the incense, with the changing of the bread to the body, with the change of the wine into the blood, is taking place. And we can't see it because of that curtain. Okay. That curtain is our sin. It's a symbol of our sin. And what happens? When we have sin, it prevents us from seeing the beauty that God has in our lives. Take a look around you. You could see all of the splendor, everything that we have in our lives, right? It's just so beautiful. You go down to the beach, you go to the mountains, even in this snow and in this wetness, you could stop it for a moment and say, it is a brisk ride today. As cold as it is a brisk ride. Can't you say that? There is so much beauty in this world. But we can't enjoy it. Why? Because of our sin. Now, don't get bent out of shape. Sin isn't a bad thing. Sin merely means you're human. Sin means missing the mark of perfection. That's what sin means, okay? So I'm shooting my arrow, and I want to get that bullseye so I could be perfect. And I miss it. I miss it by a little hair. I miss it by a foot. I miss it by 3 feet. I don't know. Each of us has to decide where we are with that bullseye. But we don't get that bullseye exactly in our life. We make mistakes because of our sins. And what are those sins? It's not the murder. It's not the adultery. It's not the lying. It's what leads to those things. And that's what we call the seven deadly sins. Pride, anger, envy, sloth, laziness, covetousness, lust, gluttony, the seven deadly sins. They're deadly because they prevent us from seeing the beauty of God. Look at what's going on in the world right now. The big ones, the big commotions, wars, right? We're now focusing in on Ukraine and Russia. Do you know that there are other wars going on? Well, we know as Armenians, right? Because we know what's going on in Artsakh, Azerbaijan, but also in Africa, but also down the street from you. There's like these punks that are going around and shooting people. There's people that are going around taking drugs and they're killing for those drugs. There's wars all over the place. We are focusing in on the Ukraine, but there are many other places, and I'm not here to ask you to focus in on one or the other. All I'm saying is that let us recognize that there are problems, and those problems are there because of us. Yes, there's an earthquake that took place, and you say, wow, that's not us. That's the earth that moved. Yes, the earth moves. Yes, storms take place. But what do we do? Go take a look. What we're seeing in Turkey is exactly what we saw in Armenia in 1988. People for greed, taking the cement, taking the products out of these buildings, and buildings that should have withstood these quakes are now crumbling on people because of people's greed. Because people have anger. Because people are looking at life lustfully and want more. They are envious of what you have and I want it too. We see wars taking place. Why? Because they're not willing to talk. They're not willing to negotiate. They're not willing to extend themselves. Why? Because I have pride. And so we go through this entire life with a series of difficulties that separates us from the goodness that God has for us. And as I said a few minutes ago, it's something as small as bioengineering a watermelon so that it no longer has seeds. Yeah, we love it. We love having a watermelon without seeds. But you know, to every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. Ah, yes, there is. Isaac Newton said that. Well, it works in the church too. It works all across all parameters. It works in our lives too. If you're going to do something, there's going to be an opposite and equal reaction. You take the seeds out of a watermelon, somewhere down the line, there's a consequence to it. Now, that consequence doesn't have to be major, doesn't even have to be a negative. It could be a positive. But when we don't negotiate, when we don't talk to people, when we harbor anger, what do you think's going to happen? We're going to cultivate more anger, more hatred, and those escalate into cataclysmic events, including war and the outcome of war, which is death. That's what separates us from God. And that's why during Lent, it is so important that you go through the Lenten journey. Because each day takes you closer and closer to that reality of what Easter is all about. The ultimate victory over death, over all of that hardship. So that when the curtains open, you say, ah, yes, I am now seeing God. I am now enjoying the beauty. And in my life, when I put my sin away, I know that I can see God completely. Pride, envy, anger, sloth, covetousness, lust, and all their forms. We say it every Sunday. But familiarity breeds contempt. And we forget that these are real words. These are real emotions. These are real actions that we are responsible for. And herein is that magic word, responsibility. in Expulsion Sunday, when we realize that the reason why we are expelled from paradise, from that altar, from what's on the other side, from all the goodness of God, when you realize what the reason is for our expulsion from paradise, and you understand that there is sin, which is preventing you from seeing that goodness of God, now you start understanding that you've got to take responsibility. It's your responsibility to stop the anger. It's your responsibility to wake up, to say, I'm not slothful. I'm not lazy. I'm going to do something about my life. It's your responsibility to say that not only anger, but my pride has to be in check. My ego needs to get out of the way. I need to mellow out so that I can enjoy these people. Yes, we disagree on a million things, but in the end, that is a child of God too. I need to make that first step to understand that child of God. Now we've understood what expulsion is. We are expelled from paradise because of our sin. And that's what this Sunday means. Now, here's the exciting thing, which I said, I told you I'm going to connect all the dots, right? What did we talk about during the first portion of this? Talking about the three columns, about missing the point, missing the excitement of being part of the entire liturgy ourselves, being consumed in a holistic manner, instead just being a slave to these books or these screens, whatever the case may be, whatever the medium must be, we follow along rather than living the actual faith. In the same way, I want you to think about this. I just spoke about Expulsion Sunday without speaking about Adam and Eve. If you read what Armenian church teachers have taught us all this time, has been Expulsion Sunday is to remind us of the paradise that we have and that Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise. Okay. How does that fit in with my life? It does when you realize that you are the Adam and Eve. You realize that we are the Adam and Eve. We are expelled from paradise. And so this is what I was saying earlier. When you start reading it on a book or on a screen, you fail to make that connection that I need to be in there. I need to smell that incense. It needs to fill my nostrils. I need to taste the body and blood. I need to be there in a reaction to the message that Christ is revealed by kissing my neighbor and saying, I love you because Christ is in our midst. I need to take a holistic approach rather than just a visual approach to my faith, to my liturgy. And in the same way, Expulsion Sunday is about us being separated from God. And God bless all those teachers that wanted to teach you about Adam and Eve. But this year, I want us to have a more mature understanding. You remember from the beginning of this year, I said this year is going to be about having a mature understanding of our faith, of who we are. In other words, taking on that responsibility. And so Expulsion Sunday now comes to us with this message of responsibility, a mature message. And that's what I leave you with. A couple more things I want to share with you. Okay, a couple more things that I want to just bring to the conversation today. One, it's a personal one, but I thought I'd share it with you because I think it talks to a lot of people. I think many people I've heard, they say, in the end, is there justice? We've done so many good things, and do people remember? Do people care? And my answer has always been, do it between you and God. Don't worry about everybody else. You really, really don't need everybody else to be part of it. And I got to tell you, it's easier advice to give than to live. As a young man, it bothered me a lot of times. As I'm getting older, I realize that, yeah, it's so true. Who cares? what other people think and what they want to do with you. And Martin Luther King had a beautiful quote. It says, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice." That in the end, yeah, things work out. There is that justice. There is that goodness. And you just got to somehow live long enough. You got to make it through to get to that point. But you really shouldn't worry about that. You really shouldn't worry about it. I'm going to give you two examples that just came up out of nowhere, happened to come up this week. And they're personal examples, but I was very excited, and I want to share them with you. One was last Saturday night. We were invited to the LARC Cultural Organization here in Glendale. It's a beautiful music academy, and they train musicians, and it just wonderful work that they do. I'll put a link on today's show notes so you can get a better idea of what LARC is about. And we get into this room, and up on the stage it says the Varujan Movsesyan stage dedicated, and it just looked so beautiful. It was so emotional. That's my father, and they announced that somebody had given anonymously this stage in my father's memory. My father was a pharmacist. He was also a musician, a prolific musician, who at age 17 had even been offered a seat in the LA Philharmonic, and a violinist and a pharmacist by trade, and just a really, you know, there's enough written about him on the internet, on my sites and everything, and I think I know I've done a few different shows on him. Please dig them up because, in fact, I'll put a link on today's show notes if you feel like reading a little bit about him. But I was just so overwhelming to see that beautiful thing. And I happen to know who the person is who made that anonymous donation. And I got to talking, and he was the one who said, you know, who I am today is thanks to your father. Because of his advice that he gave me, because of the way he lived and the things that he taught me. And I thought, what a beautiful expression. What a beautiful expression. And there it is. And then just a couple days later, my sister calls and says, "You remember so-and-so? There was this guy who came by our house when we were kids, and he was driving across country on a motorcycle, and now he's there. And he called and he found me. He found me by tracking me down." And this is like a story that goes back to 1978, I think it is. So 42-year-old story. Here's a guy who tracks down my sister and just wants to say that, thank you. He's a musician who has put out some music, and he wants to share it with her and say, thank you for taking me in at the time, and I want to thank your parents. And when she said that they had passed on, he said, well, you know what? He says, I want to know exactly where they're buried. I'd like to send some flowers to the grave. Oh, what a beautiful gesture that is. A beautiful gesture from somebody who doesn't need to do that, but he did it. And, of course, it makes us feel good. And it only fortifies that arc of justice quote, right? Especially this week when two of these examples came up. And I couldn't not tell you about this because it is so beautiful. And I think that a lot of times it's not as unique as you may think. People do say thank you. They do share their beautiful moments as well. But we have to be open enough to hear them and to listen to them. So just a small little tidbit of information that I had to share and pass along the way. And now here's Susie to share with us another bit of information. I'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Epostle.net is the voice and expansion of In His Shoes Ministry. We are committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at either the InHisShoes.org website or epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you all of you for all of your prayers, your love, your support. They go a long way in keeping us floating. It sometimes gets a little rough, and just to know that you're out there, know that you appreciate it, your kind words, you can't believe how far they go. Listen, a couple things that I want to share with you really quickly. This Sunday, I will be doing a very special service. It's called Giragi, Sum of Sunday, S-U-M of Sunday. And it sounds like Sum of Sunday, like a part of Sunday, which is okay too. And it's going to be a very short service, 15 minutes. And it takes place online. All you need to do is go to epostle.net at 5 p.m. That's Pacific time. That's what we live in here in California. So adjust it to wherever you are in the world. Okay, 5 p.m. And we're going to get together for a small Joshua service. As I explained earlier, there will be a hymn. There will be a prayer. There will be some psalms. And there will be a message. The first message is going to be given by Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, the primate of our diocese. And he'll give the inaugural message. And we'll give a blessing, you know, a beautiful way to start off your week. As a group of young people that have put this together, this idea. And if it flies, why not? Maybe it'll be a weekly event. But for all intents and purposes, we live a day at a time. Let's get together this Sunday. That's February 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. There is also going to be the Reclaim Conference coming up exactly a month from now, March 25th. Mark it on your calendar. Get a ticket and come out to Los Angeles if you can't. If you make it to Los Angeles, I promise you I'll get you to the conference, okay? I'll pick you up and do that whole thing. I'll send somebody, all right? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that expense of going through the town because it's horrible. I'll get somebody to come pick you up. Just let me know you're coming. But we're going to try to stream it as well. It's called Reclaim a voice of the lost, a voice of the hurting, a voice of the youth, a voice of the church. And this is going to take place March 25th at the Western Diocese. And hopefully it'll be online, but I'm not sure. I can't promise that right now. This is the seventh year that we're doing the Reclaim Conference. And every year that we do it, it just makes me realize how important it is to have these kind of conferences and how thankful we are that we have a platform to do this from. Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, our primate, makes this available. And as of this year, he said he wants it umbrellaed under Epostle Ministry. So epostle.net will now become the official organization that puts together Reclaim 2023. If you can make it, please be there. There'll be a link on today's show notes. Not only to that, but everything I spoke about. Well, at least everything, all right? Hey, don't forget to check out epostle.net, where there are daily messages. Very important during this Lenten season. Follow the Lenten journey. Every single day, a new message waiting for you to listen, waiting for you to read. That's at Epostle, that's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe.net. On behalf of my wonderful producer, Susie, and myself, I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. I invite you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
vpostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding.
Of Balan Top Visit.